Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You're listening to Eagles Unfiltered.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Third down and one.
I didn't even think.
Hurts. Keeping. First down and a touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Ed Kraz and Connor Miles.
All right, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Eagles Unfiltered, powered by betonline.ag, the best sports betting website around. You can use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, 50, to get up to 50% matching on your initial deposit when you go ahead and sign up with betonline.ag, courtesy of Eagles Unfiltered, Connor Miles, Ed Kraz, as always. And let me just tell you, the best thing about this Eagles victory, I don't know if you've ever gone through this in your life, because I'm sure we've all have at some point. But at some point, the girl that you love or the man that you love, your significant other, leaves you for somebody else. There's always at some point in your life. And you're heartbroken. You're crushed because, you know, you thought everything of this person. You thought they were going to be here forever. And you find somebody else. And, you know, it works out with that other person. It's not what you thought it was going to be because you're still thinking about that one true love you first have. And, you know, everybody remembers their first true love. But there's always that one time where you're out and you see your ex true love going through some hard times. And you're prospering with your new love. And that's what happened Sunday for the Philadelphia Eagles against the Washington Commanders. They pummeled Carson Wentz. And Jalen Hurts, not only did he look the part, but he went out there and he looked every part that Carson Wentz looked during his MVP season during 2017. You know, arguably, I don't want to say better, but man, he's throwing the football with incredible accuracy and touch. He's not afraid to get downfield. He's pretty much me stunning with my new girl, stunning with my new partner. Yep. You know, looking at my ex who's struggling over there. I sacked him 9 times, 17 quarterback hits in total. Trying to figure it out with his new crush. You know, it hasn't worked out the last two relationships, so he's trying to make it work with a new crush. But man, that felt good, Ed. That felt really good, man. What kind of game were, I mean, you know, you and I thought it was going to be a close divisional game, but I mean, what were your takeaways?
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously the 9 sacks, my goodness, that was just an onslaught. And, you know, Washington had that backup center in there, Wes Schweitzer. They lost Chance Roullier before, you know, to an injury. But, you know, and the Eagles did a good job of that. I love seeing Jordan Davis on the second play of the game making a move on their center, Schweitzer, and knocking the ball right down into Carson Wentz's face on the second play of the game. I mean, that you can say that might have set the tone, but I think what set the tone, and it was Fletcher Cox, I think. We saw Wentz and Cox hug before the game, pretty long embrace. They talked for a while. But when the game started, man, Cox was just like a man possessed. He looked like Fletcher Cox, you know, of the, you know, 25, 26-year-old Fletcher Cox, and not the almost 32-year-old version of Fletcher Cox. He set the tone. He got in there first sack of the game on that first series with Josh Sweat. They shared a sack. And then a series later, he got his own sack against Carson Wentz, against his good friend. And from there, you know, the I don't want to say the route, but the beating of Carson Wentz was on. They sacked him four times in the first quarter. I mean, that's unbelievable. They haven't had that many sacks in the first quarter since 1991. You know, that's going back a long, long time. So I like your analogy of, you know, the girlfriend that leaves you and, you know, you're like, darn, man. And then you see her prosper, or you see, you know, yourself going through some struggles. And, you know, it's a great analogy because that's kind of exactly the way it was. The Eagles are that team that he's looking at like, man, I used to go out with that team. I used to go to dances with that team. You know, I loved being with that team, and now he's not. And, you know, he looked like the same old Carson Wentz that, you know, that left the Eagles. He held the ball too long. I mean, the Eagles rush got home and they knew they were going to get home because they know Carson Wentz likes to hold the ball. Hasn't gotten out of that bad habit. You know, he holds the ball too long. And, you know, he, even when he got rid of it, he was, the hits were starting to add up and he was spraying balls wide left, wide right over people's heads. So just about as dominating an effort as you'll ever see from a defense. And it just so happened it came against their former love, Carson Wentz.
And then more on Jalen Hurts, you know, Sean Payton, yeah. He made a great statement, I thought, pregame prior to the Eagles taking off against the Commanders. He said, you know, Jalen Hurts' performance against the Vikings, there's always that time that a star quarterback has in his career where he hasn't hit that point yet where he's hitting the stardom. He's, you know, he's a very good quarterback. He's teetering that. They always have that one breakout moment where you're like, this guy has arrived. And he said it was his performance against Minnesota. And if Sean Payton thinks that, you know, yeah, that I should be damned and think that. But he's completing passes. Jalen Hurts is completing passes. We've never seen Jalen Hurts complete before at a pro level. I can, honest to God, I don't think you can even pull up the Oklahoma tape and find this.
Yeah.
I mean, his accuracy, Ed, I mean, you were at camp, and the funny thing is, if you go back and listen to our pod during training camp up to now, you kind of thought you saw the same Jalen Hurts. Like, you didn't know where the improvements were majorly going to be because, I mean, again, in his training camp, you're only going with what your eyes tell you. It's not like they're going full effort and giving what the full product is going to be. But, I mean, he is throwing the ball at rates we've never seen Jalen Hurts throw it before. It's incredible.
Well, he's trusting his receivers. And, you know, maybe that was part of the whole summer of training camp and the OTAs in the spring was building that chemistry. I mean, this is year two with Hurts and Devontae Smith together. A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, good friends. They throw together a lot in the offseason. So what we see is that training camp has really helped Hurts build a chemistry with his guys. He's throwing the ball up and letting them make a play. And we haven't seen quarterback do that since probably Nick Foles when he took over in the 2017 postseason when he trusted Alshon Jeffrey to just throw it up, make a play. And now the Eagles have two of those guys, Smith and Brown. And, you know, you talk about Hurts and yeah, he terrific game, you know, another 300 plus yard passing day, 63% completion rate. But when you talk about takeaways from the game, number one, it's the defense. 9 sacks, 24-0 at halftime. They don't give up the first touchdown until there's less than 2 minutes to go in the game. Big goal line stand, Avante Maddox tackling tight end Logan Thomas on a shuffle pass on fourth and goal. A great tackle by Thomas or by Maddox. So it's the defense for me, number one takeaway. Number two is Devontae Smith. I mean, my good, that was like one of the best receiving days I've ever witnessed live. He was making acrobatic catches all over the place. You know, that 44-yard catch he had to put them down at the 1 yard line where he hurt his back, or he said he just had to catch his breath. He got the wind knocked out of him. But to me, it looked like it was reminiscent of when Tyree Jackson in training camp last summer went up real high, caught a pass and landed flat on his back and broke his back. And I thought, oh my goodness, I hope Smith didn't break his back on that, because that happened in the same end zone where I was sitting in the press box, and that was the first thing that came to mind. But Smith was just unreal, and Hurts trusts him enough to put it up to throw it to him. Career high, what was it, 169 yards, 8 catches, career high. Just that to me is the two biggest takeaways. And that just shows you how far, in my opinion, Hurts has come when he's not in the top two of my takeaways from this game. It's the defense. It's Devontae Smith. Now, I know Hurts had to get him the ball, but those two factors were just huge, huge in this win. No question about it. But Hurts would probably be my number three takeaway is, yes, he continues on this trajectory, this upward arc, where he is getting better. He's trusting his receivers to make plays. He's certainly not holding on to the ball as long as Carson Wentz does. The Commanders took away his running. He only had 20 yards running on the ground. He had to beat this team with his arm, just like he did against the Vikings. This was a different kind of defense that he had to attack, though. This was, you know, these defenders played the Eagle receivers tough, but the Eagles were able to get a little separation. But even when they didn't, Hurts trusted them enough to just throw it to him, see if they can make a play. And he didn't put the ball in bad spots where if they couldn't make a play, neither could a Commander's defender. So just a great all-around performance from Hurts. But again, that defense and Devontae Smith, I'm telling you, wow. I mean, I was just I couldn't believe what I was watching. I mean, he made that catch right in front of me in that same end zone, and I couldn't believe he hung on to it. When he catches the ball, he hits the ground hard. You think, okay, the ball's going to squirt loose, but it doesn't. He holds on to the ball, and that catch he made for the touchdown going up over Kendall Fuller.
It was Kendall Fuller, yeah.
I mean, it just jaw dropping. I mean, I just couldn't believe what I was watching from an Eagles receiver, no less.
No, I know. I tweeted it out. I said, seeing wide receivers play like this in the Eagles uniform makes you want to cry. I mean, it's insane. 155.
There's no crying in football. There's no crying in football.
But Ed, it's Ed. Week one.
I hear you though. I'm kidding.
Week one, AJ Brown, 155 receiving yards. Week three, Devontae Smith, 169. And who's the quarterback doing it? Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. And week two, 53-yard touchdown pass to Quez Watkins. I mean, this receiving core, to me, I've never seen a better 1-2. And you could say Smith Brown or Brown Smith, whatever order you want to put him in. I haven't ever seen the Eagles with two better wide receivers on the outside. But it's not just those two guys. It's the other two guys. It's receivers three and four. Zach Pascal, far superior upgrade than Jalen Reagor and Greg Ward combined. Okay. Yeah. He's a factor. And you know he's going to catch the ball. I haven't seen him drop a ball yet. And then the fourth one, Quez Watkins. I mean, he's very good too. He didn't have any receptions, yesterday.
Two huge PIs.
Two PIs. And Nick Sirianni said that. Those, to him, he said, are explosive plays. He drew two offensive PI calls or defensive PI calls, and they were legit. I mean, you know, that was definitely passing. That wasn't any, you know, borderline call there. They were legitimate. Because I think on one of them, I think it might have been the second one. If Watkins isn't interfered with by Wild Goose, I think that's like a 65-yard touchdown pass. I think he would have caught that pass and walked into the end zone. So, this receiving core to me is just definitely the best four together that I can remember. And if you just want to single out the top two, probably the best top two as well. But it's hard to believe. And they only kept four receivers. Now, I know they've activated Britton Covey, who's technically a wide receiver, but, you know, was four going to be enough? I mean, do they need a fifth one? No, they don't need a fifth one. What they got with four is plenty good enough.
And they got two tight ends, it looks like, too, because Grant Calcaterra, you know, that was a nifty move to get open in the middle of the field like that. And then, you know, the yak. Yeah, you love to see the yak. I mean, they have receiving options, that's for sure. That's no doubt about it in my mind, but. I'm with you too. Also, hats off to the defense. I mean, you know, Darius Slay has been Darius Slay. He's been what we expect him. It's about James Bradberry, though. I mean, you know, he struggled last year with New York. You know, it wasn't up to his standards, if you want to say struggle, because normal play, you take that from your corner. But 59 yards in three games he's given up. I mean, the guy only 9 receptions, six yards per catch, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. I mean, yeah, you can harp on the missed tackles, but
he made 5 of them. He made 5 tackles yesterday.
That's why, when people talk about missed tackles at corners, I'm like, that's my least amount of thing I need from them. That's the least, that's the lowest on my totem pole. If they can cover, break up the pass, and force a turnover, there you go. That's my top three. I can take it if you can have missed tackles because he's had it throughout his career. But I mean, the guy is locking down his side of the field. I mean, you could argue, yeah, because he has Slay on the other side, you know, that helps. But I think that, you know, puts you in a tougher position because I think that, you know, teams scheme their best option to go against you then. And he's shutting them down. shutting them down. I mean, I know Vontae Maddox too. Vontae Maddox is in the top 10 for PFF right now.
What a good player he's become, Vontae Maddox. There's no question. I mean, he had a pass breakup yesterday. He played that throwback screen where Carson faked to the right and threw back to the left to Curtis Samuel. Nobody was fooled. TJ Edwards, Vontae Maddox saw exactly. I almost said Asante Samuel.
We're so used to him now.
Yeah, I know. You're doing a great job with this podcast. But no, Vontae Maddox, TJ Edwards, I mean, they weren't fooled at all. They were right on the ball. They held it for a one-yard gain. If that, might have gotten 0 yards. But he's just – and like I alluded to earlier, that tackle he made on fourth and goal, you know, on Logan Thomas on that shuffle pass. I mean, yeah, that's a big dude he's taken down, man. Logan Thomas is 6'5", 6'6", you know, 250. And Vontae Maddox is, you know, 5'8", 5'9", you know, 200 pounds. And he made a textbook tackle right down low, right around the legs, and put Logan Thomas right on the ground before he could even get moving. So he's just playing great. And he's kind of like the under the radar guy, right? Because he gives so much praise to Bradbury and Slay, but man, Maddox is right up there with those guys. And this is just like the receiver core. When you talk about those four, I mean, you look at this cornerback group and you look at those three, I mean, again, probably some of the three best cornerbacks I've seen on this team, you know, since Shepard and Brown and who was the little slot guy that was in
Azul Hanson.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, and that's underrated, you know, because everybody's looking at the offense, but that cornerback group, very, very good. And Bradbury played 100% of the snaps yesterday, second straight week. He's played every single defensive snap. Him, Marcus Epps, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson have done it now two straight games where they've played 100% of the snaps. And those are probably three of the better defenders. Now, I don't know if they're the best because you have TJ Edwards, who I think is, you know, he should be the first in line for a contract extension beyond this year because he's locking down the middle of that field for this team.
Right.
You know, I think he is probably the best defensive player right now on that defense is the middle linebacker. And he doesn't get enough pub because Slay's the player of the week, the NFC player of the week on defense last week. Bradbury shutting down his side, 9 sacks, but that guy in the middle, man, TJ Edwards, he makes it all happen. He calls the signals. He's like the quarterback on the defense. He's doing a great job.
Say what you will about Jonathan Gannon, but he fixed the secondary.
Yeah.
You know, this, I mean, ever since Jonathan Gannon's rival, Vontae Maddox, has turned his career upside down, one of the top nickels in the league now, and it's widely known. It's nationally known now. And then not only that, you got to tip your hat. You know, I'll say one play against the Terry McLaurin deep pass where miscommunication with Slay, which I think is still going to happen as he's still new to this team. I'm talking about CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Right.
But other than that, one mishap, the guy is locking it down too. Him and Marcus Epps have been playing exceptional football these first three games. I mean, the secondary, dare I say, it's fixed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, they haven't really given up the explosive plays yet. And, I think somebody's going to hit one on them. Maybe Rodgers or maybe Kyler Murray. I mean, someone's going to hit an explosive play against them.
I think Lauren was an explosive play, but I mean, it was a miscommunication. You could tell Slay thought, you know, CJ was going to go ahead and cover the top real quick, but, you know, he was slow to doing so, slow to reacting. And I think it was just miscommunication. He didn't think Slay's going to give him up.
Yeah, but what a job they did on McLaurin. You didn't even hear his name until the second
half. Dotson, too. Dotson. I mean, you know, Dotson had that one really big, bad drop. But other than that, I mean, you didn't hear him at all either.
No. I mean, Carson Wentz completed, what, 3 passes in the first half? I mean, was he 3 for 10 for 24 yards? I mean, that's abysmal. That is abysmal. And
it's funny because, you know, you got that, you know, little heads up of what the team liked to their advantage against Washington. And it was the D-line, and they're right, you know, that was insane.
They
did like their D-line more than Washington's O-line.
I don't know what the rules of this off the record stuff is with Nick Sirianni. We get off the record with him every Friday, and we don't kind of reveal what he tells us. Obviously we can, it's all off the record, but maybe in hindsight I can say that Nick said that he liked that matchup was with the Eagles defensive line against the Washington offensive line. And man,
if we if we don't bring this up next week, it's because we got in trouble for it. So just so you know, that might not be on the next week's show.
Listen, I mean, I didn't say anything previously, you know, before the game, but after the game, you can say, hey, man, he was right. The coach was right on the money, man. He liked that matchup and he was right. And I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school here, whatever the cliche is, man. You could see that even without the coach saying, hey, we like this matchup,
yeah, right.
You know, especially with the center, you know, Wes Schweitzer, who's never, you know, he wasn't getting any reps really behind Chance Roullier, and, you know, that interior wasn't really good. The tackles aren't really quite proven. Sam Cosmi might be a good player, but you knew that was a real area that they could exploit. And the Eagles did a good job of getting home without having to send the extra rusher. I mean, they sent a few blitzes, but not like they did against the Vikings. They got home with their front four. And I liked seeing Jordan Davis very active. I mean, he started. That was his first career start. He was out there in the first play of the defense and in the five-man front. And on, like I said, on the second play, he knocked that ball down in Carson Wentz's face, and he had two tackles. So played a career-high 24 snaps. So, you know, he showed some stuff, man. He was in the backfield a couple running plays with, you know, some techniques that you reminded you of Fletcher Cox, what he used to use back in his prime. So he's learning from Cox. He's learning from Hargrave. And, you know, I think he's going to be a really good player for this team in the future. And even as the season goes on, I think you might see his role steadily increase, maybe keep it around 24, 25 snaps. But, you know, after we get through into November and December, and you want to keep guys like Cox and Graham fresh. And what was interesting, Connor, to me was when you looked at the snap counts, and I wrote about this, Fletcher Cox had the third most snaps on that defensive line. Javon Hargrave had 41. Milton Williams played 36 snaps, and Fletcher Cox played 34. And then if you want to look at Brandon Graham, he only had 27 snaps on the edge. Sweat and Reddick were the top snap getters there. And that's telling because, you know, those are veteran players. You know, Cox will be 32 in December. Graham just turned 34 in April. If you can limit their snaps, if you're getting good snaps from guys like Williams and Marlon Tuipulotu had 34 snaps. If you can get good snaps from these younger guys, Williams included, then you don't have to play Cox 40 snaps. You can limit his snaps, keep him fresh, keep him effective as this season goes on. And same with Brandon Graham. The better job you can do keeping him fresh, the better he's going to be in November and December when it's crunch time and you need to start winning games and try to take control of the division. So I like that. I like the rotation that the Eagles have on that front line right now.
Hey, Hassan Reddick looked good too. That bold prediction was pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I agreed with Nick, though. I like the advantage that the defensive line had over the O-line. And it showed it in a big way.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny, Ed. I listen to all these different sports podcasts because I like to hear the national opinion more than I like to hear the homer opinion. Just so I can see what, you know, what teams think of, you know, what national insiders think of the Eagles. And, you know, they still think, and I think rightfully so, they haven't beaten a real team. Or like they haven't beaten. I know. I hate getting in that argument.
I hate that. Yeah.
You play what your schedule dictates, no matter what. Yeah. The Eagles won a Super Bowl off a really easy schedule. What mattered at the end of the year was they held the Lombardi up, not what their schedule was. I don't give a crap about that. Neither do the Eagles. But I think there is a lot of questions if still by the national members if they can hold up against, you know, the Aaron Rodgers of the world, the Tom Brady's of the world, and so on and so forth. And I think will be interesting to us to see. But
yeah.
No, but here's where I'm going with this. It is so funny to hear the Eagles are going to be a dumpster fire. They got rid of Carson Wentz. They hired a coach who can't even get through his opening introductory press conference. He should take a public speaking course. To now 3-0, the quarterback they replaced Carson Wentz with is excelling at the position compared to Carson Wentz himself. And Nick Sirianni looks like one of the, you know, it's funny they praise Sean McVay for coming out of Washington and, you know, lighting up with the Rams. Yet Nick Sirianni is the young Italian head coach who looks just as good as sex appeal wise as Sean McVay. Is doing the same exact stuff what Sean McVay did when he first started with Jared Goff in Los Angeles. Yet, no, it's just not the same praise. And I think the main reason is because these guys got it wrong. Like, they got it so wrong. Yeah. The Eagles made them look so bad.
And just listening to all these national shows, Colin Cowherd especially, that keeps questioning the talent of the Eagles or what caliber team they are, even if, you know, they're not playing the greatest schedule. These last couple of games that they've been winning or against losing organizations. Man. Yeah, but you can't just say I was wrong because you were so wrong.
Yeah, and listen, you're playing these losing organizations at the start of a season where it's like spring training, where everybody thinks they have a chance, you know, that eternal optimism before the season starts. So you think, yeah, the Lions, they don't know they're bad, and they might not be bad. They gave Minnesota a good run on Sunday.
They're not bad.
They're not better bad. Than Dallas. They're not bad. And once they get Jameson Williams back, another weapon for them. But, you know, listen, Washington, they beat Jacksonville. That's the only loss for Jacksonville. The Eagles played Jacksonville on Sunday, who were coming off this huge win against the Chargers, 38-10 in Los Angeles. And then they went over the Vikings. They have two wins now, the Vikings. So, you know, spare me this, you know, soft schedule stuff. If you're playing the Lions like they played them last year in November, I think it was, when the Lions hadn't won a game yet. Okay, yeah, it's a bad team you're playing at that point in that part of the season. But season opener in front of 70,000 fans, where, you know, you had the momentum of Hard Knocks, the country was like the Lions.
The Vikings are leading the North right now.
I just don't buy that whole schedule thing. I mean, you can only play who you play, but it does. There's no guaranteed wins in this league. You can't just
the schedule roll shit. Pardon my language. But the schedule stuff never matters because, like I just said, they had a cakewalk schedule. Like, let's be revisionist history now. Cakewalk. And they got it because they deserved it. They were one of the worst teams in 2016. So they got one of the worst schedules the following year. And they cakewalked it all the way to, honestly, the divisional round was a mess. That game against the Falcons was an utter disaster, a playoff game on both sides of the ball. But once the lights came on against the Vikings, that was when that team really played against really competitive football teams. And they lit them up. So you could spare me the schedule talk because it doesn't matter. That does not – if you go 13-4, get the number one seed, and you had the easiest schedule in the NFL, guess what? You got home field advantage. You're probably going to steamroll those teams in the playoffs because you got home field advantage. Because I'll tell you right now, the Eagles beat the Vikings and they beat they're able to go into New England and win the way they were because they felt they had the home field advantage in both places. Because Minnesota, come on, man. You saw how many Eagles fans were there. And then in Philly during the NFC Championship game, whole entire stadium was on their side. So I don't care about the schedule talk because that has never prohibited a team from winning the Super Bowl. That in anything, that enhances them winning the Super Bowl. So I mean, that's why I don't care about the schedule.
How many teams played a soft schedule that won Super Bowls? I mean, you know, I've never researched it, but you know,
it's so funny. There's 32 teams in the NFL. Of course, there's going to be a bunch of soft teams that make it up. They only allow 24 teams to make the playoffs, anyways.
Yeah.
So of course, there's going to be
people talk about it like they want an apology. Oh, we're sorry. We played a soft schedule and we're 3-9. Sorry about that. It doesn't work that way. Look at the NFL in general. Look at the parity that's out there. I mean, there's only two teams. Well, three if you count the Giants, if they win Monday night against the Cowboys. But right now, after Sunday's games, there's only two teams that are unbeaten still after 3 weeks. I mean, that's insane. I mean, that's parity that the NFL craves. I mean, the NFL does a good job of letting the bad teams get better and the good teams play a harder schedule. This is what they like to see. Two teams.
Any given Sunday. Look what just happened with the Chiefs and the Colts.
Yeah.
Chiefs probably gonna go to the AFC Championship game. The Bills just lost to the Dolphins and they're missing a bunch of key players.
They're the only 3-0 team left with the Eagles. Dolphins, Eagles. Now, if the Giants beat the Cowboys, there's only three undefeated teams left in the NFL. And look, you can go do the research, but man, I can't remember a season. And maybe I'm wrong because I don't have the best memory anymore. But you know, when was the last time? After 3 weeks in the season, there were only, you know, two, maybe three undefeated teams left. It just seems like a really, really low number. And that's the parity that exists. So, yeah, before you start dumping on the Lions and the Commanders and, you know, the Vikings, oh, these teams stink. And the Eagles, you know, they played these bad teams. It's not the way it works in the NFL. There's parity, man. This is the way the league is. Any team, like you said, any given Sunday, a team can win because this is what the NFL wants.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So,
Last up, let's wrap this up real quick.
Yep.
What's up with the second half? What is the offense just gassed? Like, because I mean, this is going to be eventually, this is going to be, you know, this is okay to do this against, you know, Carson Wentz, who he couldn't do anything against the Eagles defense. You know, it's right. Okay to go against Kirk Cousins, who, you know, he just didn't have an answer against.
No.
Didn't have an answer. But you helped, you know, that did help against the Lions. It did help the Lions inch back in. When you play Tom Brady, you play Aaron Rodgers, you play Matthew Stafford, you know, that's going to give them opportunities, and they're going to take advantage of those opportunities. What's going to give, man? Are they, I mean, like Jalen Hurts says, they're still not to their standard yet, so that must be the truth, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, they tried to be aggressive. You know, they threw the deep shot to Brown that didn't hit. They had some penalties. I mean, if this is what we're complaining about.
Yeah, I know.
Not scoring in the second half. I mean, it's such a nitpicky thing. That just shows how good the Eagles are. You know, they jump out to these big leads. I remember last year how they started games slowly and they trailed at halftime.
That was a common theme.
Well, they got this thing figured out now, it seems. You know, they have 65 of their points, and I think they've scored, what, 84 points or 86 points? 65 of them have come in the second quarter. I mean, what's wrong with going into the halftime at 24-0 and then, you know, playing kind of, you know, without that same sense of urgency in the second half? You let your defense do its job, pick up some first downs. And Nick said, I took my foot off the gas against the Vikings, tried to be a little bit more aggressive against the Commanders, but he took his foot off a little bit. I don't really read much into it. I think the Eagles can score when they need to score and when they really, truly want to score. And I'm not worried about it. I'm really not worried about this second half stuff. I think they'll be fine. But when you're up 24-0 and 24-7 in the last two games with two quarters to play, you know, that same sense of urgency isn't there. I mean, I love it. Come out, start fast, take the game by the throat, and then just keep your foot right there and just kind of ride it from there. So, you know, I don't mind it. I don't have a problem with these second halves. I think.
I don't either. You're the voice of reasoning. That's why I got to ask you to give your opinion on it. But I think my first thought when these second halves happen is, dang, they're just trying to find a way to grind these games out, to end these games. It seems like to kill the time of possession. And the first thought that popped into my head, which was crazy because I'm never like this. I'm always thinking they're good with what they have. They don't need to keep adding to this position. But it would be nice to have a grinder running back at that point.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have that physical guy that can just wear the game down like a LeGarrette Blount did. You know, the Jay Ajayi type edition. So,
yeah.
Because, there's no way Trey Sermon's impressing them if he's going to be inactive every week so far.
Well, it's practices. Early.
It is early. You know, he's still adjusting. Yeah. You're right. But, I mean, I don't think he's going to be the guy, though.
Maybe. I mean, listen, I think he's just an insurance policy. You know, we'll see where his role develops, if it does develop. But,
could use a grinder, though.
They could.
If you want to wear this game down, you know, control time, possession, and get that big bruiser back out there that can just get you those yards.
Yeah. I will say, man, the Eagles really had a hard time running Sunday. You know, 30 carries, 30 rushing attempts for 72 yards. I mean, that
did not expect it. You know, I thought Miles Sanders would go off.
That they were, I thought, I said on our preview pod that I thought Hurts and Sanders could both go for under 100 yards. And again, no wagering. Please don't take anything I say to the bank, right? But I thought that was the way it was going to work. But Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen, boy, those two defensive tackles are just studs. They just controlled a lot of that game on the ground, and the Eagles had a hard time moving them, which was a huge surprise.
That's a tall task for everybody.
I thought Cam Curl, their safety, played a great game too. Like, he came up and run support. I don't think he played in week two. I think he had an injury, but man, he was a big difference maker. So, you know, listen, Washington has some players just like the Vikings, just like the Lions, and the Eagles came out on top against all three. No apologizing.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us, man. We're very impressed with the Eagles so far, 3-0. We have to go back and look at our schedule pod when we predicted the schedule, because I think I had the Eagles losing to the Vikings. So I think we're wrong already.
What a shock.
Because I don't know if you had them losing the Vikings back then, but I got to listen to see what we had against Washington and see if they lost to Wentz or not in the first one, because 3-0, though. I mean, you can't be bad at 3-0. What a start. What a start for this team, Nick Sirianni and company. Jalen Hurts,
another impressive quarterback performance from him. Let's see if they keep this thing rolling against Doug Peterson and Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll back soon later in the week.
Yep, talk about it on our preview pod. Should be a good one with Dougie P. I think he'll talk to us on Wednesday, I hope. And, yeah, it's going to be fun. You know, it's interesting, just real quick, the Eagles booed Jalen Reagor. Eagles fans went to Washington and booed Carson Wentz. What are they going to do when Doug comes to town on Sunday? They're going to
boom? He's getting praised.
I think he's going to get cheered. Yep. All right, we could talk all about that later.
All right, see you guys next week and a little bit early in the week.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.